brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. I advise that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are. Welcome to another edition of The Shooting Bench. It's the 18th of, what is this month, August already? And I hope you guys had a good weekend. We had an awesome weekend. I was hoping to have some video and stuff up for you. We had a hunting rifle class out at Schott's Ranch. And it was a lot of fun, just as we suspected. We had a good time. So I'll get more to that. I'll tell you what we found out about this, though, regardless of how many, let me be careful how I word this. There are some people out there, a great many people that have been raised a certain way and been around guns a little bit, and I think that they have an aversion to telling somebody they don't know how to hunt. And therefore, they would rather go off and wound an animal or be unsuccessful, and then just humbling up a little bit and saying, "That's not you know, in this part of the country, everybody knows how to hunt pretty much." But we had this one guy come out from California. He lives here now in Arizona, but he came out from moved out here from California, and he said, "Oh, it's something I always wanted to do." An older guy, retired. And something I always wanted to do and just never had the opportunity, never had anybody to coax me, convince me to do it, and really no place to go or to talk to anybody out there were in that particular area in his line of work and everything. So anyway, he was one of the ones that was very excited about taking this. So if you'd ever like to tune up your hunting skills a little bit, well, try to catch one of our hunting rifle classes. It was a blast. Got a lot of stuff here. We missed several things last week. We had some things, some gun-related stuff. So this is going to be a veritable plethora of stuff tonight. We've got lots of stuff. So we'll get on with that. Let me see who all we got in the chat room. Iowa Cat joined us. Good deal. Let's see. Let me start from the top and see who all we got. Lots of regulars here. The SR bunch, or at least one of them, Ranger. And lots of regulars. Name them all. We got Doom is in there. Doom, I haven't seen you in here for a while. Got some Anonymous. Well, good deal. I'm glad to see all of you in here. Where we start? Let's start with on a happy note. Here is a guy in Albuquerque, decided he was going to rob a smoke shop. Short story, the happy ending. Decided he was going to rob a smoke shop. Come in with a gun, demanded money. They gave him money, and he left. Okay, that's a simple way to get over it. And, you know, money's usually insured, and so that was okay. But apparently, either there wasn't enough money, or he left something on the counter, or whatever it was. But he came back, and he wasn't happy about it. So it was during this second trip back that one of the employees retrieved a gun out of his backpack, and the robber soon assumed room temperature. So this was a guy that used to work there, a former employee, came by the shop right after the shooting. He said because of there so many robberies that employers are allowing employees to bring their guns as long as they're legally licensed. Not just this particular smoke shop, but he said a bunch of them in the area. And these smoke shops typically in New Mexico and Arizona, all over the Southwest here, a lot of them are on reservations, and it's a kind of a mainstay for some of the Indian tribes out here, and because they sell a lot of these things without the encumbrance, I guess is the right word. Hindrance, without the inconvenience of having to pay certain taxes. So people will that smoke will drive a pretty good ways to go out on the reservation and get a sack full of, you know, cartons of cigarettes and bring them back and save that tax. Of course, a lot of them will take advantage of that too and bring them back and sell them. If you get caught doing that, it's Katie bar the door. But a lot of them just try to save money. Lot of stuff going on in Ferguson, Missouri right now. I am fully expecting that to spread to other towns here in the very near future. And this quite possibly may all be by design. It seems to be playing just right into the playbook here. The one witness appears that it wasn't so credible after an autopsy. And I don't know how they could figure out. There wasn't any, from what the deal says, there was only a couple of exit wounds. It looks to me like they could have pulled his T-shirt off and said, yep, he was shot in front several times. But anyway, after the autopsy, they found out that he was not shot in the back, and he wasn't. Apparently, he had gone out there a little ways and turned around and come back to charge the cop. And the cop took exception to it and lit him up. So it's one of the hazards of doing things you're not supposed to be doing, I guess. But, you know, the National Guard is getting involved. The feds are all nervous. Jesse Jackson and everybody else is over there. And did you guys hear that old... it was Jesse Jackson got run out of there today. He went over, first word out of his mouth, he went over there trying to solicit donations for his church. Not for the young man that was killed, but for his church. And protesters run him off there pretty quick. Now, I don't know if they run him plumb out of town or just run him away from that particular rally or what was going on. But anyway, they didn't like it. So I thought that was kind of neat. Queso thinks Sharpton got run out. That could be. I didn't hear about that. But Jesse Jackson definitely did. He was pulling a fundraiser for his church out there while he was out. Everybody's all upset about this young man being shot. We have a lot more to see. For all intents and purposes, martial law has been declared in Ferguson. Not quite, but pretty much. Curfews and the like, so... Let's see here. Um, 007, that CB radio is a guy who says every day, all day, sick of being held down by the white man. I'm very nice to good people. Yeah, I guess being nice is okay to a point. But it, there is a point where that... Okay, Queso did put that... looks like the mayor did tell Al Sharpton to get out. Yeah, I didn't tell him... told him to get lost and quit spreading racial hate. So maybe they run them both out of town. That's good. Hang on a minute. Get a little news coming in. I think that can wait. Okay, where to start now? We got so many things. Let's talk about this one while it's early in the game here. No, let's don't. Let's talk about it after Amy does her thing here in a little while. There's a little deal in Las Vegas that might... make y'all think about how you store your ammunition and everything. In Las Vegas, firefighters, they say they faced an unusual situation over the weekend. I don't think it was that unusual. I think it was just the times that we're in and the people that are involved. And said they were forced to watch a house burn down because exploding ammunition inside the home made it too dangerous to fight the flames. And you and I know that that's bull spit. That, the exploding ammunition, true enough, it may have been popping a little bit, and that's okay. But they can get back with those fire hoses. They may not be able to take their axes and go inside and do everything else they want, but there's nothing to keep them from hosing that house down, cooling it down, at least trying. But they said they just forced us to watch it burn. Fire broke out in the garage. Said when they got there, they heard the ammunition going off inside the garage. Once they felt the ammunition was no longer a danger, then they began fighting the flames. Fortunately, there was no one at home at the time, and the fire was contained to one section of the home. Well, that's good, I guess. Exact cause of the fire undetermined. So, with large boxes of ammo, even then, no, that's not true. I was going to say maybe boxes full, but we had a guy brought a 50 caliber ammo can into the shop in Farmington that was full of 308 rounds that had been in a fire. In a house fire. And matter of fact, I've still got the box here. I think I've still got the ammo here. Out of that ammo, that whole box, it was probably about half full. And as I pulled that out of there and looked at the rounds and everything, there was probably, if I remember right, maybe six, somewhere between six and ten that had cooked off and exploded. But even though they did in that can, the rest of them did not. So if it would seem that if one of them was going to blow up, and if there was a danger of explosion here, that can would have been a prime candidate, because a lot of the rounds in there were hot. You can tell the brass is discolored. I wouldn't shoot it, but the ones that did cook off didn't seem to be a danger to the rest of them. And they were laying loose. They were not boxed up. They were not separated by any dividers or anything. They were all laying in there on top of each other loosely. And the few that went off did not affect all the rest of them. So, and even if they do, these things don't go very far. It ain't like they pop and send bullets flying out of the house at 3,200 feet a second. The bullets go about 10 feet, maybe, and it might put a little bruise on you if it happened to hit. We and Jason played with some over in Luna one time, and it was a little more exciting than I thought it was going to be, but hardly dangerous unless it hits you in the eye or something like that. So... I think this whole thing was because that they just didn't want to do it. They've been convinced through their training and their indoctrination periods there that this exploding ammunition was a sinister danger to firemen, and they just stood there and watched it. And I think that they probably could have, I wasn't there and I didn't see what was going on exactly, but it seems to me from just the way they tell the story that they probably could have salvaged, or at least tried to salvage, some of the house. But anyway, let's see. Let me see what's going on here. (laughs) 007, I haven't seen that. There's another theory coming up. See, possibly JFK may have been hit with a 223. Alrighty then. We'll check and see what. Anyway. Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of twos. When was that? 1963? Wasn't a whole lot of 223 out there in that time. It was just coming around about that time, if I recall. I don't remember just exactly what the date was, but it was right about that time. I don't know what. Of course, that may have been a good time to do it, just simply for that reason, because it was brand new, and maybe they wouldn't have expected it. But it seems to me, let's see here, let me look, and I'll bring you updated information. Or maybe I won't. Let's see. Yep, it was designed in 1964, so much for that. Now, what was before that, though, is the 222. So they shoot the same bullet. So if somebody's saying 223, I think they're trying to stir up some crap, because 223 hadn't been invented yet. But 222 had. The 007, their Secret Service member may have had his finger on a trigger, but it wasn't on anything that shoots 223. Because there wasn't any. There was no M16s, no AR-15s, no Ruger Mini 14s, none of that. So you can go back and tell you whoever told you this compelling theory that, no, didn't happen. All right, let's continue to march here and see what we can get done. It's almost, you know what? Today is the first day of the rest of your life. No, today's the first day that Amy, in all of her splendor, is going to be with us yet again. We've had a little trouble here with other things going on here the last week, and you know, you guys are 2 weeks. And I know you guys have missed her. We've heard a lot of stuff about it. So here, right after this bottom of the hour break, Miss Amy is going to be joining. Yes, Iowa Cat, remember, you heard it first, right here. Casper Mountain said, ta-da! let's see. Pumpkin Cat's clapping. 007 said, yeah, so you're gonna be the star of the show. You're just pulling it out from under me here. So, Iowa Cat, no. That's why she's on tonight, because there are no more morning shows. Amy has okay, she'll tell you. She's got it. Hide your goats, BB Burner said. Okay, Iowa Cat, you can always catch her in the evening, though. We're going to go to a break here in just a second. And when we get back, we're going to let Miss Amy tell you all about what she's been doing here for the last couple of weeks. So stand by just a minute. Let me, this looks like a good place right here.
I'll be back.
I know, me too.
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
And it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised.
Someone ought to warn him before I knock him off his chair, 'cause my long hair What this world needs is a few more rednecks, so people ain't afraid to take a stand. What this world needs is a little more respect for the Lord and the law and the working man. And we could use a little peace and satisfaction. Some good people up front.
You can't take me.
Are protected by the good Lord and a gun. And you might meet them both if you show up here not welcome, son. Now our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew, and fry everything out here.
People gonna gather round, gonna show what made this country great. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. Every one of them looks like a nail.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it. Join Cope for two full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
Welcome Amy Reynolds for Living Way Out Here on Just Measures Radio Network.
Hello. Hello, everyone out there. All right, this is me. This is me. I finally made it. And I have been an AWOL, I guess, for a while.
Yes.
And there's been a reason. Thank you, Pumpkin Cat. Iowa Cat, hello. There's a lot of people. Wow, there's a lot of people on here this
evening. I was there this morning. His aviator, Casper Mountain. Thank you, everyone, very much. Very nice welcome, warm welcome, and I appreciate that a lot. So the reason why I'm not on the mornings anymore is because I have a job.
Hey, Casper Mountain gave you the claps. Look at there.
But it's not your typical, because see, and I haven't had a job for a long time. I haven't had a job actually since, it's been almost 5 years, but I, and I know this sounds weird. Well, you know what? There might be a lot of women out there, and men too, listening. I can't stand to work with women. An office full of women, you might as well just throw yourself, you know what you might as well do? Just slit your wrists and do push-ups in salt water. Because it is a...
Well, you are a sadistic old broad, aren't you?
Because, I don't know, I just don't like working with women. And so I'm not, you know, I wouldn't... I just wanted something to do during the day. That's what I was looking for, something to do. Well, this friend of ours, he's got a... he boards horses, and so he's got a nice little horse set up not too far from our home, and so he was looking for someone to clean out stalls. I raised my hand. I got hired. So, it is what I do is I go in there in the morning, and I pick up horse poop. That's what I do, pick up horse poop. And put it in a wheelbarrow and haul it and unload it in a big pile on his property and do it all. He's got, right now he has nine horses. He's going to have two more tomorrow, he told me. He's got three ponies. So when I clean up after these guys and I make sure that their water is filled, I scrub out their water trough. And you know, and I absolutely love this job. I really do. I like it because
my wife the mucker.
I have a cat. Don't I get enough of that working or living with you? But anyway, yeah, I am now the official
turd herder, baby burst.
You know, and there is a couple times when I chase them all over the part, all over the pasture, and it irritates me because I am like a perfectionist when it comes to certain things, and I want things done a certain way.
It's
and
every little turd. I've gone over with her and helped her a couple of times because she's getting behind and everything.
You know,
every little crumb, Amy. It's horse crap and it's a corral. We're not going to dance here. We're not sleeping here. Let's just get the nice big round biscuits and move on. We don't need the crumbs.
And, you know, Casper Mountain, that's a good point. He wants to know if this guy knows about my goat story. I don't think he does. So,
I guess I better tell him. Maybe we better not tell him. He may fire you.
So if there's, if we have a problem with a horse that's going down, I'm just going to tell you right now.
Yep.
But anyway, so that's what I do. That's what it takes me. I go every single day. I don't go Sundays. I go Monday through Saturday. I was there a little bit late this morning. Got there at 8:30. I usually like to be there about 7:00. And before it gets hot, we're right in the heart of monsoon season. So before the monsoon started, I got rained on and thundered on and lightning around me this morning. So, or a little later this afternoon. So I had to speed it up a little bit so I could get home before the big storms hit. And I did. But it was, it's fun. I really enjoy it. I mean, it's hard work. I'm not going to lie. It's, it is hard. But it's very therapeutic to me or something. I don't know what it is. This yard work is the same way. I love to be outside. I just love that kind of thing. But Casper Mountain.
Hopper says you swapped poop for your... Swap them for poop.
That's right. But now you guys get me in the evening. So see, so this might be a good thing. I don't know. We'll see. But
I think it's a good thing.
What picture did you put on there? Did you put a picture on there?
Uh-huh.
What picture would that be?
You can't see it? That's probably a good thing.
Oh, boy. No? Do I need to see it?
Okay. Probably not.
You do know my goat story, right?
Do I know the goat story? Yeah, I know the goat story.
Just checking.
You know mine's loaded too, though, right?
don't give me any lip. Anyway, so that's where I have been. So just wanted to let you know. So that's what I'm not sleeping in. I am actually out there and doing the whole, home of the muckers. There you go. Got your picture. Okay. But anyway, yeah, I am actually out there working and sweating and all that kind of stuff. So it's, but it's a fun job. I really enjoy it. I like it a lot. There is one horse, however, that loves, I don't know, loves people or loves me. I'm not sure what it is. But he, today, I'm in fact, we need to get that picture on there of you and that other horse, too. There's a picture. There's a horse that I really liked Cope, and a couple times he's gone out there to help me. And Cope is trying to work, and I look over there, and he's got this big old horse just resting his head on Cope's shoulder.
Really he's cute. Just loving me and cuddling up to me. Get off me and let me shovel poop.
That's how I was today. Now, he's also got another horse that it was the same way. I would walk around, and he would get as close to me as he possibly could. He would smell my hair, and he would rub his face on my back.
Sounds like me.
Yeah. And he was like, I'm trying to shovel here. It's starting to rain. It's thundering, and it's lightning, and I'm trying to hurry up. And every time I turn around, the horse is like right there. And so I had a hard time getting around him a little bit. But he, anyway, it's a fun job. Like I said, it's not the most glamorous job for a 54-year-old woman, but I like it. I like it a lot. It's fun. It's I don't know. I just enjoy it. And, you know, I set my own hours. I set my own days. It's my choice to be there Monday through Saturday, and I am there maybe 3-4 hours, depending on the horses and what needs to be done. I also clean out their big, huge water troughs. I scrub them out with a brush. I clean them and make sure they all always have fresh water. And so, anyway, I like it. So, there you go. There you go. That's what I've been doing. Okay, well, you know what? Now, my show on Mondays, I mean, not on Mondays.
You took a picture with your camera, didn't you?
I did.
Find it. Okay.
Well. On my show on the mornings are, and I'm going to kind of follow the same format. I'm not going to do the as many music because I'm only going to be having a half hour now, and so I'm not.
Unless you run over a little bit, that's okay.
Oh, okay.
We don't mind.
All right. And so anyway, so what I do is I always tell you about the holiday. Now the holiday of the day when I was in the morning, and I thought, well, that's kind of ridiculous to do that. So I am going to always tell you the holiday for the next day so you guys will be able to celebrate. Is that a good idea? It's a good
idea. Sounds good to me.
All right, so tomorrow's holiday. Tomorrow, the holiday is National Potato Day, August 19th. So what this is this, now is your chance. Potatoes are really, really good for you, very good for you, all kinds of vitamins, minerals, potassium, iron, loaded with that kind of stuff. But now you can prepare some potatoes tomorrow any way you want in celebration of your National Potato Day holiday. How about that?
Whee!
Yeah. Now, and
how
I don't know if you knew this,
awesome
but
was that?
45 billion pounds, 45 billion with a B, pounds of potatoes are harvested in the United States each year. Did you know that?
Is that like a bazillion, kind of?
That's probably a little bit more than that. But, so anyway, so yeah, mashed potatoes, fried. You know what Cope loves is sometimes what I'll do is, because he likes anything fried, put a little bit, and I'm sure you guys have all done this, but it's so easy. It's a really good side dish or even a regular for a meal. Add some more things to it. But you get a potato, some potatoes, wash them. Don't skin them. I don't. Slice them. Put them in some oil in a frying pan with a get an onion, a white or yellow onion. Slice it. Yellow onions probably better. Slice that, and you fry onions and potatoes together. And Cope is a huge fan of those. Huge fan of those. So anyway, there you have it. That is the holiday for tomorrow's National Potato Day. I'm going to tell you some birthdays.
I'm a chicken fry. Cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And a radio.
All right. Iowa Cat says fried potatoes and onions are the standard at her house.
So that's good for me. And I'll tell you something else I like is baked potatoes and chili.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, real much. I mean, I
he
like
He likes
it
to have
real
the baked
much.
Potato, yeah. Heated chili, and you put chili over the baked potato. Do you put cheese on yours? Sometimes?
With or without, it doesn't matter one way or the other. I don't care.
Chopped onions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A little salsa or Tabasco, whichever happens to be handy.
Yep.
If I happen to have it for breakfast, throw a couple of fried eggs on it, and that's awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
If I eat it for dinner, I might still throw a couple of hot
eggs
on it.
See, Seven says we need to add some garlic. That would be good. I love garlic.
Yeah, to a point.
Evie Burner says baked potatoes with barbecue sauce on top.
Sounds good. Just one more thing. So I think what we're probably going to do is eat potatoes from now on.
You know, and they're really inexpensive, and they're really good for you, and they're so versatile. Unbelievable what you can do with a potato. Anyway, all right, let's do our birthdays.
Oh, wait, I wasn't ready. This is not my this is not my thing here tonight. So.
Huh, you're not with us?
I'm on top of it.
There we are. Rangers says potatoes and bacon.
That sounds good. See, we don't need to buy anything for potatoes ever.
Ah.
Buy a truckload of them for $20.
Doc One says bourbon potatoes.
I would expect that from Doc.
Bebe Burner says vodka.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, let me tell you, I don't have any of your birthdays today. So if any of you out there are having a birthday, happy birthday to you from me. Today, though, you are celebrating with Robert Redford. Robert Redford, 78 years old today. He's a movie actor. He's a director. He's directed several movies. And, you know, he is... And I don't know if any of you out there get the catalog. It's called the Sundance catalog. There is some amazing... Oh, man. I love the Sundance catalog. They have beautiful clothing. They have wonderful furniture. And the jewelry is amazing. And it is... that is just neat stuff. I love... Because only California people get that catalog. You know, I love that catalog. However, let me just tell you, I have never bought one thing from that catalog because, and there's so many things that I would love to have. It is just idiot expensive is what it is. It's idiot expensive. There is a necklace in there that I wanted. I thought, oh, I saw the picture. Didn't even look at the price. I thought, oh, man, I need to get this. I need this necklace. Well, and I'm not a fancy jewelry person, but I do like jewelry. And this necklace, it was just a chain. And it just had some really neat-looking beads on it. The whole chain wasn't filled, just some beads and just some neat stuff on it. Well, the necklace, it was... $1,200. Unbelievable.
For a necklace.
Yeah. So, that is just par for the course for the prices of things in that catalog. It is just kind of, it's idiot. It's what it is. It really is. But anyway, so Robert Redford, that is, and the reason why I say that is because he has a home in Sundance, Utah, and he puts his, he puts that catalog out. He's the guy behind that catalog. All right. Another birthday today. Dennis Elliott. Any of you are Foreigner fans? He is a drummer for Foreigner. He's having a birthday today.
Standing in the rain with his head hung low. Couldn't get a ticket. It was a sold out show. Picture the scene, put his head to the wall, then
All right. That's Foreigner. I like Foreigner a lot. T-Dog, yes, hello. This is me. I am now going to be on the show from 8:30 to 9.
At least.
Yeah. Just
or more, maybe.
Because I am now a official mucker. And so I am cleaning out horse stalls, and so I don't do my show in the morning anymore. So I am here in the evenings now. This is actually my debut evening show. I haven't been on for a while. All right, and so those are the only two birthdays that I have today. Dennis Elliott of Foreigner and Robert Redford. I have one thing that I thought was interesting that happened on this day in history. On this day in 1962, Peter, Paul, and Mary released their very first hit, and it's called If I Had a Hammer.
I have to tell you, I'm not real wild with that
particular
version.
I wasn't excited
about
that. No. No. That was
song's not bad. It's just that that particular version that they did at that particular time
doesn't particularly blow
my dress up.
You better not be wearing dresses.
Look, in my off time, just let me do what I want to do.
All right. So that's all I have for birthdays and history. I do have a couple things that happened. It's Ripley's Believe It or Not. These are a little bit weird, and I don't know why this even happened. But it says, a piece of the apple tree that inspired Sir Isaac Newton's discovery of gravity traveled into space aboard the space shuttle Atlantis in 2010. Who cares and why?
Not me.
And what was the purpose of that?
I'm not sure.
It's not even interesting.
Nope. So why'd you tell everybody that?
I probably shouldn't have.
No, I don't think
actually,
so.
None of these are in. Well, this one's kind of. It says, scholars in medieval Baghdad who translated books into Arabic received the weight of the book in gold as a reward.
Hey.
Now, that's
not
probably
a bad job.
Yeah, that's a good job, too.
Yeah, gold in those days is probably worth $4 an ounce.
Yeah, that would be really good. Now, this is kind of weird, too. I'm just going to tell you. It says, physicists at Harvard have slowed the speed of light to less than the top speed of a racehorse using super low temperatures. Again, why do we care? I don't know if we do.
They said what now? They
okay. Try to keep up.
Tell me that slowly.
Okay. It says, hold on. Physicists at Harvard, got that?
So far, I'm doing good.
All right. Have slowed the speed of light to less than the top speed of a racehorse using super low temperatures. And again,
alrighty, then.
And what I say, who cares? Why?
Yeah, I was kind of trying to figure out the significance of that myself.
Okay, now this is a little bit weird. Ready? And I don't know how people know this. How do you know this? Swordfish heat up their eyeballs in order to better track their fast-moving prey in cold water. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Now, this is your first night. let's try not to win. And we got a pretty good crowd, so let's try to hold on to them, okay?
Got it. Now, this is...
I'm not sure about this whole starfish thing.
That'd be a swordfish.
Swordfish, I mean. Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, these other ones are kind of stupid, so I'm not going to tell you. So we'll just forget those.
Okay.
And we'll just forget about that. Okay. All right. I don't know if you guys, anyway, you hear me. I just talk about some interesting things on my show, interesting things. I don't do the doom and gloom. I think Cope covers that pretty well, so I'll let him continue with that. I don't want to step on his toes or rain on his parade.
Come on.
No. There's too much of that sadness and horrible, terrible things out there. So I try to find the fun stuff, interesting things, weird stuff. This is the kind of stuff I'm interested in. There's this man. His name is Herman Goldman. He goes by the nickname of High, H-Y.
Well, High? Remember High and Lois?
Yeah, I did. I do. I mean. Anyway, he turned 101 years old this past weekend. And
what do you tell somebody when you greet them when their name is Hi? Hi! Hi!
Hello.
Hi. It's a little redundant, don't you think?
Anyway, it says he turned 101 this weekend, and he is not ready to quit his job. He has been working at the same job for 73 years, and he says that he still shows up. They said he still shows up 4 days a week at a light fixture company called Capital Lighting in New Jersey. And he said that today his actually coworkers celebrated his birthday with him today at work. But he said that aside from a brief absence to serve in the Army during World War II, he has worked at Capital Lighting since 1941.
Wow.
Yeah. They said that
that's impressive.
He was first hired to sell items and to stock and clean stock shelves and clean displays. That's what he was hired for. And get this, I don't know if this is a good idea, but now what he still drives himself to work. He's 101.
Well, probably drives better than a lot of folks do.
It doesn't say what he drives, though. That's what I'm thinking.
A horse and buggy, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. He says he still drives himself to work, and I don't know how far he lives from his job, but anyway, now he doesn't stock and clean stock shelves and clean displays anymore. He is a
he is a display.
He specializes in rebuilding items that have been damaged, or people say this is unusable, it doesn't work, whatever. It's a lighting place, and so he repairs those things. He sits back in, I guess, a little office somewhere and repairs stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting. All right, I want to tell you.
Hey, 007 needs a link to that story about the racehorse, whatever it was. Well,
the Ripley's thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you say? He's a nerd. So he needs
007, you're a nerd? You know what? Nerds are good people. They're good people to know. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I will, I'll put that on there. It doesn't say a whole lot. It's just a Ripley's Believe It or Not thing. But I will put it on your... I'll try to put it on the chat. I'm not real...
Well, she's technologically challenged.
I really am. And if you're a nerd, then this is probably going to drive you crazy how long it's going to take me to do this. But
just don't tell him when you start, and he'll think you did it instantaneously. So you'll get to it in a little bit.
There you go. Look at me. There it is.
Did you get it already?
Mm-hmm. I think that's it. It's on that one, I believe.
Well,
there's a couple
awesome
things.
Are you?
And that says, as a physicist at Harvard about the, yeah, I still don't understand that. But anyway, I want to tell you anything, any of you out there have witch hazel, have ever used witch hazel, I'm telling you that I have an article here.
Witch hazel is that? Oh,
the blonde
I'm
one.
Sorry, go ahead.
The 14 reasons why witch hazel should be in every home. All right? Now, so I'm just going to go through this really quick. As we all know, well, maybe you don't, I don't know, but witch hazel is a natural astringent. You put it on your face after you wash it. It just removes any excess oil from your face, that kind of thing. It shrinks down your pores, makes your complexion look better. It also, witch hazel fades bruises and blemishes. If you've got a bad bruise, a black eye or something like that, just put some witch hazel on a cotton ball or a cosmetic pad or something, and apply it directly to the bruise or the blemish. It clears up acne really well, and directly on there, and it will start the healing process, and it heals quickly. If you have puffiness under or around your eyes, it's very good for that. It tightens skin, and it's you don't want to put it in your eye, though. It you will definitely know if you get it inside your eye, because it's going to sting like the devil. So don't put it in your eye. Just be really careful. But and it will make your eyes really dry, because it's a very drying thing. But it's really good for any discoloration or puffiness around your eyes.
So Michael Jackson used to use it.
Probably he probably used to bathe in it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking. You want it's very good for shrinking swollen veins, varicose veins, or veins that are swollen and painful. You can, it says you want to soak some terry cloth, so just like a towel or something, in witch hazel and lay it over your affected skin with the varicose veins, and it will temporarily reduce the swelling and the pain. All right? So, and also when you do that, you want to keep, if it's on your legs or wherever you might have these veins that you want taken care of, keep those in a, you know, kind of elevated when you put when you do this, so that will help it a lot. I didn't know this, but witch hazel stops bleeding. It because it naturally tightens skin and helps promote faster healing. But it you can apply it to minor cuts and scrapes, and it will stop bleeding. So now some witch hazel that you buy at the store is has alcohol in it, which is a disinfectant, and that will work good too. But just plain witch hazel also. If you are a both men and women, if you shave your face, your legs, your body, whichever, after you shave, if you will put witch hazel, because it's anti-inflammatory, witch hazel will prevent razor burn. How about that? And also if you wax, any ladies out there, wax your eyebrows, your mustache, your arms, whichever. Put witch hazel on those, and it will stops any bleeding and any pain. Witch hazel is good for hemorrhoid relief. It eases.
Man, that's a pain. In it. Well, go ahead.
It says it eases the pain, itching, swelling, and bleeding of hemorrhoids. So there you go. In fact, witch hazel is a very common ingredient that's used in commercial hemorrhoid creams. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it is. All right. It eases a sore throat. It's very good for a sore throat. You want to make a tea out of witch hazel. And you can get the... what you're going to do is you're going to gargle with it. You don't want to drink it, but I would gargle with it, and it will help out with your sore throat. If you have damaged gums... in your mouth, gums, you know, bleeding or problems in your mouth, you can also get some witch hazel, squish it around in your mouth. It will stop any type of irritation, bleeding, anything like that. It soothes pain. It says that you want to try a teaspoon of witch hazel and one drop each of clove and myrrh oil, and it will safely relieve teething and pain in babies. There you are. It dries up swimmer's ear. You want to put some witch hazel. If you have, you know, one of my youngest daughter, boy, she had a rough time with swimmer's ear when she was younger because her ear canals are so small. That's what the doctor said. So, anyway, you want to put several drops with an eyedropper of witch hazel into each ear, and it will dry up anything that's in there. It clears away any excess oil and breaks up any wax that's built up in there, anything like that. Anything that's clogging the ear canal to where it can't dry normally, witch hazel will take care of it. It's very good to soothe diaper rash. If any of you have babies in your house or don't have babies in your house, I guess. But anyway, it's really good to...
that would be the other option, yeah.
Yeah. It's really good to... put directly onto the diaper rash. It's very soothing, and it's very good for the baby's discomfort. Put it on a sunburn, witch hazel, directly on a sunburn. It and it also will keep your skin from peeling from the damage of the sun. Okay, you have contact dermatitis. witch hazel has a anti-itch power. And so it can be used to put directly onto any dermatitis, any skin problems, and it will clean up immediately. And the last one is bug bites and stings. It's really good to take the sting out of I don't know, you have poison ivy or bug bites, either one. But poison oak, poison ivy, that kind of a thing. But it says it's a good thing to always have with you if you're going to go outdoors, if you're going to go out on a picnic, if you're going to go hiking. Bring some, if you don't have anything else and you don't want to use any over-the-counter stuff. I don't use any over-the-counter or prescription stuff. I use essential oils. I try to do as natural as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. I've always had a hang-up with medicines and that kind of thing. And I think what happened, why I do, is because I used to, when I was in high school, I babysat some people with their kids, and I also cleaned their house. And we had our health food store at the time, and I worked there also, but these people had their bathroom counter, I mean, to clean off their counter, I would, you know, because I cleaned their house, there was probably 25 to 30 bottles of prescription somethings. And I thought, what the heck? What is all this for? So I would look at one thing, and in our health food store, we had a book that was called Prescription Drugs and Their Side Effects. And I used to read that book all the time. And I would read what the bottle was, and then I would look it up in the book, because I brought it to the house with me because they weren't home when I did this. So I would look up and see what the side effect was, something that another bottle of prescription drugs was fighting. And then the side effect of that was fighting another one, and it just went on, it just snowballed. It's like, this is weird. This is crazy to me. But, and that's, well, that's how they lived, and that's what they did, and that was crazy to me. I think it really is a weird thing. But anyway, so there you have it. So that is just really quick about witch hazel, how important it is. There's other things, too, that you can use, other natural remedies and that you can use for things, too. But just wanted to share that with you. I thought that was some good information to have. Let's see here. Oh, it's after 9, isn't it?
Got to get back with the doom and gloom here.
Yeah, no.
It's getting a little too happy here for this time of night.
I do want to tell you before I leave, I forgot, this happened like probably a month or two ago. I had completely forgotten about this, and I don't know what made me think about it today, but I had gone to a hardware store, and actually Cope and I, he was getting some keys made, and it was starting to rain while he was in the store, so I was in the getting stuff out of the back of the pickup truck and putting it in the back seat because of the rain and all that kind of thing. And some guy pulled up behind me as I'm in the getting stuff out of the truck, and he says, excuse me, ma'am. I said, oh, great, here it comes, because I've heard conversations like that before. I said, I turned around and I said, yeah, and he was in his car and he was getting ready to drive out of the parking lot. And he was in his car and he says, I just want to say thank you. I said, oh, you're welcome, but what are you thanking me for? He says, I want to tell you thank you for carrying a weapon.
That's not the first time that's happened to you either.
It isn't.
That's at least two since we've been in Arizona.
Yeah. He said it was so, he said it's very, very nice to see a woman carrying a gun. He says, you don't see that very often. And he says, I carry a gun. And he says, my girlfriend carries a gun, and both of my daughters carry a gun. And it's just nice to see somebody else out there carrying a gun. And he says, and I'm sure you know how to use it. And I said, yes, I do. He said, that is perfect, and I just want to stop and say thank you. And I said, well, thank you for mentioning that. And he said, okay, have a nice day. And he drove off.
My youngest daughter just walked in, and she said, oh, was that when we were at Ace?
Yep.
And she was there. Oh, I remember that. So there you go. She backs it up. You know, I was in a place called TJ's Diner. One day. I don't know if you... Were you with me with that in Farmington?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. This gal, little girl, it was the typical thing that you hear that everybody fears. As a matter of fact, I started writing a book about that, and I've neglected it. I may try to do that again one of these days, but I... and the book is entitled just exactly what this little girl said. Mommy, that man has a gun. And I said, oh, shoot, here we go. And like Amy said. And she turned, you could have knocked me over. Almost, my knees almost buckled, almost fell to the ground. She said, well, that's good. Maybe he can protect us if the bad guys come. Yep. I said, geez, where'd that woman come from?
Yeah. I know we were expecting for some, you know, call 911, this guy's got a gun or something like that. But no, it was very positive, and she handled it very well. And then they just, Iowa Cat, good for that mom. That is true. And they were just, and they just went on.
They just went down, went right on back to eating, and that was the end of that.
Yeah, it was neat.
Boy, I don't see that very often.
No, it's a neat story. All right, well, I'm done here. That is true, Iowa Cat. She says that's the right way to change that, to train that little kid. I'm done. So all you guys can get back to your doom and gloom and all that kind of thing. And
prepare for me to wipe out all the happy that just happened here.
That's what I said. James is darn good. He's better. And I'm better than both of them. No brag, just fact.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evening, it's 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Enemy is approaching fast, requesting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. It needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable. Inevitable.
Inevitable. People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. apologize. It's too late.
It was over in a moment, and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
All right, now back to your regularly scheduled programming. Doom and Gloom coming up. We've got, you know, I told you there was something I wanted to talk to you about here after Amy's segment. So here we go. Remember, we talked about this homeowner back, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, it seemed like. I don't remember when it was. But let's see. No, it was longer than that. But we did talk about it on the show. And what had happened is there was a gal that was falling down drunk, and she had a wreck, or disabled her car. I guess she ran into something. Anyway, she walked quite a ways, walked up to this guy's house. He thought she was trying to break in, and he shot her and killed her. And now he has been convicted of, let's see, was he convicted? Yeah, he's been convicted of second-degree murder. So this is one of several stories that has kind of helped concrete the advice that I have, or confirm, I guess, the advice that I have given you a few times. And that is that there is, I can't think of any good reason ever that you should shoot through the door. And that's what this guy did. He killed her out on the porch. He had, I think he went, if I remember right, he went outside. Maybe he didn't shoot through the door. He went outside and saw her coming around the corner and shot her, I think. But at any rate, whichever way it was, doesn't matter. It's the same either way. If he went outside, he shouldn't have. Now, in some states, you can get away with it, and get away with it is the exact correct term, because it's not justified anywhere. Well, Doc, you know, even if they are shooting through the door, how do you know they're not holding your wife in one hand and shooting with the other? If you can't see what you're shooting at, typically, it's probably not a good idea to be shooting at it. You know, you might get away with that in the jungle somewhere or something, but usually in town, that may not. I'm thinking it's probably not the greatest idea. But anyway, if he went outside, now this is kind of like in Texas. You remember the story about Joe Horn? Remember that big fiasco? He got away with it. Simply because of the self-defense laws in Texas, not because of stand your ground, not because of castle doctrine or whatever. It was just the self-defense laws there. And on the one hand, people say, well, you know, God bless Texas and their great self-defense laws. On the other hand, if he hadn't gone outside, then he wouldn't have had to kill anybody. And he has suffered some repercussions from this. Now, I don't think he's still alive, even though he's had some death threats, but it hasn't been a smooth sailing for him. It wasn't just over with. Let's see, Casper Mountain, was that? Huh? Let me see if that was Detroit. Let's see. Hang on just a second here, and I can probably find out for you. No, I don't remember when the heck it was, but or where it was. But at any rate, they're saying, you know, the people that were trying to hang him are saying she was just a young girl looking for some help. Well, Yeah, remember the guy what started the whole castle doctor make my day laws, as they called it back then, was when that young man who was deaf was trying to find a party in a little town in Louisiana. I don't remember what town it was, but it was in Louisiana. And when was walking across this guy's driveway, and I guess he heard him or saw him or something. He stepped out on the porch with a .44 Magnum, told him to stop, get off his property, and he didn't. It was twilight enough that maybe the kid didn't see the gun, or maybe he was looking at the ground and didn't even see the guy, period. And he was deaf and couldn't hear him. The guy shot him, killed him, and got away with it. All he had to do was shut the door. There was no excuse for him to be out there on the porch, unless you have family out there, unless the guy is, you know, raping your dog or whatever, then you know, there's no reason for you to be out there. And now, people, you look at that two ways. It's your land. It's your car. It's your whatever. Yes, you should probably have the right to go out there and defend it. But this is also the 21st century. So however it should be is not how it is. So if you're not in immediate danger, then you don't need to shoot. If somebody's outside, then you call 911. If they beat the door in, if they're knocking on the door and they're kicking it and they're breaking it down, if you wait, depending on where you're at, but in all places, if you wait until the door is broken down and they present that target right there in that fatal funnel, then, you know, light them up and do it judiciously. And anybody that's with them, if they look like they're coming through the door. But just to shoot through the door because they're beating on it, you know, they may get halfway in and give up. They may have a heart attack. They might get a splinter and quit. You know, they don't tell them what might happen until they are in there or until the door has broken down. Then you're safest. Like I said, there's some states that you can get away with that. Several of them, as a matter of fact. You could get away with it here in Arizona. But just because you can get away with it, doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. It doesn't end when the body hits the floor. It's just starting. With all the stuff you're going to go through, that you're going to hear from your friends, and your employment, and your family, and the nightmares, and the digestive tract disorders. And all the things that's coming, it's just beginning. This stuff may go on for years after this is over with. Some people will be affected of it that way a whole lot less than others. But there are some people that fall apart. They look for that opportunity. They think they've got the right to do it. And they pull the trigger. And then they find out, oh, God, I was not prepared for the noises that body is making. I was not prepared for the look in his eyes when he went down. I was not prepared to see his young son come running up to him. You know, whatever the case may have been, most people are not prepared for all the things that come along that go along with taking a human life. So it needs to be, and T-Dog's exactly right, should never be taken lightly. It needs to be your absolute final alternative. When you have exhausted every other possible way of getting out of it safely, when it comes to that last, when you have to, you have to. And you should do it, and do it vigorously, but not until you have to. When you get to that last minute and that's the only option there is left, then do it and do it well. Come to Southwest Shooting Authority and take the 3-day defensive handgun class and you'll be all set. All right, let me go back over here and make sure we didn't leave anything out. That was Casper Mountain, that was in Orange County, Florida, is where that was. No, it wasn't either. Stop. That was another story that we're going to do in a minute. So I'll be darned if I can find out where in the heck this was at. I still don't know, and I'm not going to look anymore. Okay, let's move on to bigger and better things. Here's another type of, well, basically the same thing. This one was in Orange County, Florida. Homeowner fired multiple shots at a burglar, according to the sheriff's office there. And he told deputies he'd confronted the burglar just before 6 o'clock in the morning in his home while his wife and three children were inside the home. Now, when somebody's already inside the house, most cases, especially when there are innocents scattered throughout the house, you know, we're about to get to a point there where it's going to be justified in shooting and asking questions later. And I know that kind of sounds bad, but when it gets to that point where they're already inside the house, you know, you're not left with a whole lot of option. Now, even then, there are times when okay, DeTinker, yeah, DeTinker thinks it was in Detroit too. But even then, there'll be times when there are ways to get that it may not be justified. No, that's not true. You would always be justified if the person was inside your home. I should say that there'll be times when it is avoidable. And I think that in just about, there's lots of cases out there where you are perfectly 100% legally and morally justified in shooting, but still may be avoidable even if it's legally and morally justified. Still doesn't mean you have to. Let's see, what's 007? Hope Cope can chime in. What are the values and signees? No trespassing, bear aware of dogs. Yeah, 007, I think there's three things wrong with that. You have these signs and t-shirts and all this stuff and bumper stickers on your car and all that says, oh, you know, never mind the dog, beware of owner, no trespassing, if you're found here tonight, you'll be found here in the morning, all that kind of stuff. I think those are very bad ideas. And biggest reason is the liability that goes along with them. If you put those signs up and you do, God forbid, ever have to pop somebody for, even if you're completely justified, in a state that it doesn't have the laws that Arizona has, then it may show, I don't know if premeditation is exactly the right word, but it could show something along those lines, your attitude, the way your head's screwed on a little crooked or something when the jury takes a look at that. But it also means that if somebody does have, are they going to turn around and leave because of those signs? Or are they going to come more prepared, more reinforcements? Instead of one guy coming, maybe they'll bring four. See, I've seen this house and I know it's full of good stuff, but I don't know if I can do it by myself. Obviously, this guy's got a gun, or at least he makes us believe he does, so why don't you guys come with me? And then the other thing is,
some people look at it as a challenge.
Yeah, Amy, that's exactly right. Amy said some people may look at that as a challenge. All right, you got all that? Let's check you out. See what how well you do. And then the other thing is, besides for those two things, is that it advertises the fact that you have guns. So what about when you're gone? All right, you take the wife, kids, we're all going out to a movie and go get pizza, and we're going to be gone for 4 hours. And they go, okay, they've been watching here. There's no sign, no lights, no noise, no car in the driveway. According to all the signs, there should be a few heaters in there for us to pick up. So I think signs all the way around are a very, very bad idea. I used to have a bunch of them on my truck and stuff years ago, and had a little incident right outside of Atlanta, Georgia, when I decided that was probably not the best decision I'd ever made. And I took them all off. Haven't had anything on my truck like that. I won't even put an NRA sticker on my truck anymore, just for that reason. All right. Well, we are up against a break here again. So if you guys will hang with me, let's see. Let me grab something here. Stick this up here and move that out of the way. I was not prepared for this. So let's put that down there. And this one here. And we'll be back.
I'll be back.
He cuts both ways.
I stab people.
I know I'd be there or in there yet if I hadn't used the knife.
But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life.
And a cutting was done. The only part that wasn't bloody was the soles of the big man's feet. And he was cutting about 100 places.
He's got a knife.
That's a knife. That's a knife.
All my fingers, the knife goes chop, chop, chop. If I miss the spaces in between, my fingers will come off. And if I hit my fingers, blood will soon come out. But all the same, I play this game, cause that's what it's all about.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measured Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday.
Hurricanes, tornadoes, western firestorms, earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Who do you turn to? You turn to Kat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the Medi-Chat and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. The Medi-Chat, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on the Liberty Lounge.
Do you want to lose your mind? Walk right, step right.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
Okay, we're back here. By the way, there's been some... Been a little changing around out at Schott's Ranch, and all for the good. And I think we'll see some things picking up out there pretty quick. I won't go into detail about what all has happened, but it's all going to be for the good. We have changed our survival and preparedness program a little bit. We'll be doing most of that for the time being until there's been some other permanent arrangements made. So we will still be doing survival classes, not as many different ones, because I add several things into the same class. And we'll still be doing the 8-hour disaster preparedness seminar and a few other things. So the program is not dead by any remote stretch of the imagination. We're just changing it around a little bit. So be sure and join us for some of those classes if it fits into your schedule and your budget. Come out and see us. Go to shottsranch.com and let's see. Yeah, go to shottsranch.com and you can find the schedule on there and you can check and see. 007. At least one of them is. Let's see, have I ever met, Anonymous, I know that name, and if I'm not mistaken, that name was involved in something here, a shooting or something, or his neighbor, and this guy was a witness or whatever, but I remember that name from a news article from the Kingman area. Okay, BB Burner, I remember that name from a news article in the Kingman area probably... 6 or 8 months ago. So that's okay. That is him. That's exactly who it is. He's a gun rider. That is exactly who it is. He was involved in a shooting or something happened out there. And I don't remember all the details, but yes, I remember the name anyway. Okay, so it says the rioters in Ferguson are setting fires in the streets, throwing rocks, and yep, that ought to be interesting. It ought to be an interesting night out there. Let's see. 007 had also put up there a little earlier about no trespassing sign of dogs. Yeah, I think that's fine. Not only that, there are several states where there is even a legal benefit that you have more... you have better legal standing by having those no trespassing signs up there. And I don't think they should be gun related, but no trespassing in and of itself, simply no trespassing signs, yeah, there is nothing at all wrong with that. And dog signs, yeah, some people are will put dog signs up even when they don't have dogs, because a lot of people are leery or scared or petrified of dogs. Yeah, and if you, DeTinker says maybe some quarantine signs, yeah. And you could always leave an empty box laying by the back door that says, property of the, AIDS Research Center in Atlanta, Georgia, or something like that. And that might help a little bit too. Okay. Let's go on to other stuff here. Let's see, is this one? Yeah. I was looking tonight, looking at all this Ferguson, Missouri stuff, and these articles keep coming up of people that are being killed by cops. I mean, I'm not saying it's good, bad, or indifferent, or they're blaming anything on anybody. It's just that there's a whole lot of articles coming up here, more than usual. And here's a guy right here. Here's a black man with a killed by police while walking around Walmart with a toy gun that he had planned to buy. It was an air rifle in Ohio. He was walking around there, and I guess they had walked in and told him to drop the gun, and he said something to the effect of it's not real, and that was not the answer they wanted. They shot him twice, and he died. And his wife had not even had the opportunity to tell him yet that she was pregnant with her third child. And so that didn't go over well. This is, I don't know how, if the man was acting aggressively, if he had tried to load the gun, if he were, now a good pellet gun, air rifle can damn sure kill somebody at close ranges. You bet, they sure can. So, but I don't know what he was doing. I don't know how he was carrying it. I don't know how he responded to the orders from the police, other than saying that it was not real. There may have been some justification for it, but in reading the story, it sounds like maybe not so much. So that takes us to these idiots that are open carrying rifles and shotguns and AKs and ARs and stuff and into some of these stores just to prove a political point. They're morons. They're idiotic. There is no excuse for it, no reason whatsoever. I don't care what the law says. I don't care if they can. It just is just a dumb idea. It's not a matter of, now, if it's one thing, if you've just come down off the mountain, you've been, your car is stuck up there, you brought your rifle with you, you know, conduct yourself in such a way that you don't alarm people, get your business taken care of, and get out of there. I realize that it's perfectly legal in many, many places, and it's also perfectly stupid. All this stuff didn't start until just if it was a, you know, carrying a handgun in a holster is the same as, I mean, this is what people do. This is how we dress. It's been going on for centuries. But carrying rifles into the bar, you know, that pretty well stopped back in, early 1900s. So carrying a rifle in there openly, as far as I'm concerned, is very much akin to walking in there with a handgun in your hand. Is it legal? Yes. Is it stupid? Abso-frickin-lutely. It's as dumb as it gets. Geez, guys, have a little bit of common sense for crying out loud. I mean, these people, and then they bitch about their, people putting signs up and wanting to keep them out. Oh, somebody's anti-gun. No, they just ask you politely not to bring guns there anymore because you're stupid enough to come in there with a shotgun. Somebody posted a picture on Facebook and said, I don't remember what it was, about Kroger and the grocery store, Kroger, had run somebody out or something, and there was a guy with an AK slung over his shoulder, and they're shopping, you know, squeezing peaches or something. Is it legal? It is legal. But it's just dumb. Even if you were to walk in there with the magazine out and the bolt locked open, most people don't see that and know the difference. It's still not a good idea. So and all this never started, and we haven't been doing it for years and years and years until 6 months ago or something like that. So let's back up to the guy here that was just shot and killed for carrying a pellet gun or air gun through Walmart. If you see, there are several issues that you can come across carrying long guns. in an environment like in any type of environment where there are people around, whether it's stores, offices, streets, parks, things like that. The thing is that people will not leave them slung. You sit down in the bar in the deal, you wanna take it off, adjust it, you know, whatever it is, lay it in your lap, lean it against a chair, stand it in a corner. You're handling it and you shouldn't be. It's gonna be like all those dummies out there at Bundy Ranch. They wanted to carry the way they were locked and loaded and ready to go. I thought that was insane. For that many people out there around there with weapons locked and loaded. How long does it take to chamber around? If we thought we'd have been under attack at any time, I mean, they don't even do that in war zones. As long as you're, I say war zones, when you're walking around your camp and stuff, your handgun's probably chambered and holstered. But most places I've ever been, you don't chamber a long gun until you get up there and you're pretty sure you're going to be using it here in not too distant future. You'll just walk around all day long with it chambered. Yes, they did, 007. They did some of them. Now, I'll tell you, there was a lot of good hands at Bundy Ranch. There was a lot of good guys out there. But there was a few. There were some idiots out there that hurt the whole militia movement, the whole patriot movement, and there are some of those same idiots right now that are down on the border, and they are doing the same type of damage again. So, with any luck, maybe some of them will trip over a rock, fall down, break their neck or something. Because there's a few of them that are definitely more harm than they do good. Now there's a good example right there. Doc was those of you not saying anything. Most of you don't already know. Doc was in a place where it was about as bad as it gets in those days, and the standard SOP says was to chamber as soon as you left the camp perimeter on patrol and clear them when you came back. I mean, in some of the worst places in the world, that's the standard way that you do things. You just don't walk around camp doing it. Cause you drop a gun, you stand it in the corner, you point at somebody inadvertently. It's just bad. Now, I'll tell you, case in point. While I was in Fulda, Germany, there was a guy killed there with, and I don't remember if it was a 50 or a 60. I don't remember. Probably a 60, just because it's so much, a little bit more maneuverable inside that vehicle. But whatever it was, it doesn't make any difference. There was a long gun loaded and chambered inside a 113. And something happened. We weren't privy to all the investigation, but something happened. Trigger got pulled, gun went off somehow or another, and killed a guy dead in a mackerel inside that 113. So, you know, those kind of things can happen. I don't care how many safeties you have, it's just dumb to have that thing chambered until. So if your camp is overrun, how long does it take you to chamber around in your AK or your AR? What does it take after you've heard the noise, you've seen the activity, you've realized that there really is a real need to have that gun in battery? How long does it take you to get it that way? By the time you make the conscious decision to do it and see everything going on, what are you talking about? Second half, 2 seconds? If that? I mean, it's just... Now, as Doc said, when you leave the camp and you're going on patrol, absolutely. You get headed out that way and you're past the point of no return, you rack it, safety it, and you're ready to go. You also carry it differently in most cases than you will in while you're walking around camp. But while you're in camp, it should be unloaded or unchambered anyway. Even if you have a loaded magazine and gun, I'm fine with that. Let's see. Queso, a little different time period, a little different era here, where the SOP was a little bit different. It's to keep a magazine on your person, but not in the rifle or chamber one. Well, you know, I would rather have the magazine in and empty chamber, like Doc was talking about. That's how I would want my people to do it. But at least having a loaded magazine on you is still doesn't take too long to get that gun ready to go. So, okay, let's see here. All right, we're not quite at break time yet, so let's look here at this one. In St. Petersburg, Florida, seemed to be quite a trouble with homeless folks down there. And this is an old story, but it's a jackbooted thug story nonetheless. This was the city of Petersburg at this time was trying to hide the local homeless issue from the Republican presidential candidate debate, the CNN candidate debate. They said barricades were erected at the rally, and homeless people and homeless supporters were threatened with arrest if they did not move from the public area across from them. And, okay, we dealt with a lot of homeless people in Atlanta, and when you've got certain events and issues going on, you know, asking somebody to pack up their stuff and get off the public property while we have the Queen of England coming down the street or something. I can see that. They're squatting anyway, but what these people did, they threatened them with arrest. Okay, that's not the end of the world so far. But it was understood here leading up to this 4-day event that was going on that the public area would be for sleep out and the associated demonstration would remain public. Just so what they did here, let's see, in response to the question of moving the demonstrators off the agreed upon public property 3 days before the debate, St. Petersburg police chief said, if anybody's causing a confrontation, it's certainly not the police department, but we've got a job to do and we're going to do it. So anyway, what they did was they come in there with knives or razors or box cutters or whatever. Anyway, they slashed a bunch of tents and tarps and stuff and tore these people's homes up to get them out of there. So jackbooted thugs have been alive and well for some time, as this 2007 story demonstrates. It's not all new, it's just a whole lot more of it than there used to be. So, all right. We got another. This is kind of a neat story. Kind of a refreshing, surprising story. There, you've heard of the Freedom From Religion Foundation? Well, back in March of this year, they were complaining that the U.S. Navy was unconstitutionally showing preference to Christianity. I still struggle with this, you know, and my answer to this is, so the hell what? What difference does it make? Even if it were true, they're allowing them to put Bibles, which most of them were placed by the Gideons anyway, they're allowing them to put Bibles in their lodge, whatever these type of lodges they're talking about. But there's a memo went out here in June, 2 months after that, informing all lodge managers that any religious materials, including Bibles, would be removed from the rooms under established procedures for the lost and found property. I struggle with this so bad because there's Freedom from religion. That's, I'll bet that they don't have a whole hell of a bunch of people in. So you get one little group with a small amount of members come in there and gripe about it. What makes their rights so much better than mine? Why are they allowed to, how is it that their pressure from a handful of people can accomplish something like taking Bibles? Where was all these, you've heard that, all that quote unquote statistic a lot of times where they say there's 86% of the country is Christian, 14% is atheist. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm sure that it's at least somewhere in that area of all the people that I've met, you know, all my life. Only a handful of them actually admitted verbally to being an atheist. So I'd say that 86 and 14 is probably extremely conservative towards the atheist side. I bet it's more like 96 and, well, I don't know about 96 and 4, but anyway, whatever it is, I think it's more than that. So I think the answer to this is just like a lot of issues related to gun rights, a lot of issues pertaining to, pick one. Wolves, grizzly bears, reintroduction of these animals, any number of issues out there. What it amounts to is this handful of people from the Freedom from Religion group, a handful were very aggressive, very adamant about what they perceived as protecting their rights or establishing it, whatever. So they made noise, and they were they hired lawyers, and they did press releases and took out whatever it was that they did. They made a lot of noise, and the Navy said, okay, you're making a lot of noise, so we're going to put a little oil on the squeaky wheel here, and we'll stop that. Because the 95% of them that are Christians are saying nothing. That's what we always do. If they just started taking these Bibles out of the rooms, and all the Christians would say, hell no! You ain't taking my Bible. Get the hell out of here. Just leave it alone. We have our rights. We're going to get a damn lawyer. I want these things left in here. We have the right to have this here. You're not promoting a religion. You're just offering us this service, and we do appreciate it, and we plan to maintain that convenience that you have offered us here. So if everybody would get excited about it and do something, then I think that these little problems here, like this Freedom from Religion group, would eventually become a non-existent problem, a self-correcting problem. But it says, upon review of its policies, the Navy ordered that the Bibles, largely furnished by Gideon's International, see, they're not buying the Bibles, they're allowing them to be put in there. Now, that's quite a difference, I think. I mean, I'm okay with them buying Bibles and putting them up. I'm perfectly fine with that. I don't see any reason in the world that we can't do that. But they were just allowing Gideons to put them in there. So, anyway, the attorney complained that the Bible had been the only religious book seen in the lodges for the past 20 years. Okay, well, if there's some other group that wants to put the whatever in there, then let them do it. So anyway, there you have it. There's more to the story, but I think we kind of got the crux of it out of the way. So we are right up here, 10 o'clock. We've managed to muddle through a whole nother 2 hours, if you can believe it. And it's time for us now. Remember the outro here that I'm fixing to play? Has Amy Shine, I got to change this, and I forgot to do it this weekend, but it does have Amy's show coming on Monday morning or tomorrow morning. That is not true. As you guys have witnessed with me tonight, Amy was with me from 8:30 to 9 Pacific time, and she will be here again tomorrow at the same time. A little half-hour refreshment in the middle of our doom and gloom show. So you just be prepared for that, because that's the way we're going to do it. All right, and now I'm going to have to get on out of here. I got things to do, places to go, and people to see. I appreciate you, and we'll see you tomorrow evening.
I took myself down to the fair.
Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific time for The Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let's